From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Afghanistan's second round presidential runoff is set now that President Hamid Karzai's main rival is on board. Former Foreign Minister Abdullah Abdullah spoke to reporters in Kabul today, a day after Karzai bowed to pressure and accepted the massive fraud finding of a UN-backed panel. Voters will be heading to the polls early next month, and Abdullah says their safety must be assured.
They are taking a risk in some parts of the country. And they should be confident that that risk is worthwhile taking once again.
Dozens of Afghans were killed in a wave of Taliban attacks during the first round of voting 2 months ago. Iran has agreed to consider a draft deal that would ease concerns about its disputed nuclear program. The UN Nuclear Watchdog Agency says Iran, the U.S., France, and Russia accepted the draft at the close of talks in Vienna today. At least 21 people died in India today when a train crashed into another train. Some passengers were trapped in the wreckage for hours. Officials are investigating. NPR's Philip Reeves reports from the capital, New Delhi.
India has a huge railway system. Every day it transports some 18 million passengers, the equivalent of the entire population of Chile. Maintenance levels can sometimes be poor. Accidents are not uncommon. Today's crash, though, was unusually serious. It happened in North India, just outside a station in the city of Mathura. That's only a few dozen miles from Agra, home of the Taj Mahal. Reports from the scene say an express train rammed into the back of another train that had stopped. It crashed into a carriage reserved for women and disabled passengers. Rescue workers used cutting equipment to free some of the injured from the wreckage. Residents from the surrounding area rushed to the scene to help. Both trains had been heading for India's capital, New Delhi, on a busy rail route. Flip Reeves, NPR News, New Delhi.
More than 400,000 people nationwide ran out of unemployment benefits last month, while Senate lawmakers sit on a bill that would extend benefits. NPR's Audie Cornish reports.
Lawmakers differ on how to pay for the bill. Democrats want to extend the unemployment surtax to cover the cost, while some Republicans want to use unspent stimulus money. But there are also proposed GOP amendments on issues such as the Acorn Organizing Group that New Hampshire Senator Jean Shaheen argues will further delay the bill.
They have a right to debate amendments. They have a right to debate Acorn or any other issue they want to raise. But not today, not on this bill, and not when 7,000 people a day are getting their safety net pulled out from under them and their families.
The House passed an extension bill last month. The Senate version provides 14 weeks of additional unemployment benefits in all states, with another 6 weeks on top of that for states with a jobless rate of at least 8.5%. Audie Cornish, NPR News, the Capitol.
This is NPR News. The former chief of staff to former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich has pleaded guilty to corruption charges and has promised to cooperate with federal prosecutors in the case. NPR's David Shaper reports.
51-year-old Lon Monk pleaded guilty to a charge of wire fraud, admitting to taking part in a scheme, allegedly with Blagojevich and others within the former governor's inner circle, to use the Illinois governor's office to extort campaign contributions and to raise a pile of cash they would all divide up later.
I think that's extraordinarily significant.
Cindy Canary of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform says Monk's cooperation with prosecutors could be devastating to Blagojevich's defense.
This is a close personal friend, a trusted advisor and associate. And if there is someone who could tell us what was going on, I expect it would be Lon Monk because he was there.
Blagojevich has pleaded not guilty. His trial is scheduled to begin next June. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.
The former head of the Obama administration's auto task force says he was alarmed by what he calls stunningly poor management at the Detroit car makers. In an account posted on Fortune's website, Stephen Ratner says General Motors had perhaps the weakest financial operation he'd ever seen at a major company. The U.S. government now owns nearly 61% of GM and 8% of Chrysler. A government watchdog is giving a mixed assessment to the government's $700 billion bailout of the financial industry. A report due out today says the bailout played a major role in rescuing the economy, but that the government lost credibility because of the secrecy and confusion surrounding the program. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.